So, this is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Acme Glass, Dairy Queen, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Building. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Let's go. BC, Beck Haynes, John Taylor running the board. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7. We are your home for Louisiana Tech athletics for the next 90 minutes. Thanks for joining us. Big show planned tonight, Beck.
What a treat for our listeners, Ben. The next 90 minutes.
Hey,
get
we're
to listen
here.
To you.
Oh, we're about to give it to you for 90 minutes. Louisiana Tech goes on the road. 35-7 win over a Bowling Green squad, Beck, that, I'll be honest, left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, BC.
Looked real slow out there.
A little slow. And Ben, would you call me crazy if I were to tell you there's still some Tech fans out there that aren't satisfied?
Beck, listen, you
never... Or have you been doing this long enough that doesn't shock you?
No, it doesn't shock me, but Beck, are we ever going to make everyone happy?
Yeah. Apparently, that's where we should be, and we just aren't there yet. But BC, 35-7, Bulldog W.
I'm happy with it.
I ain't mad about it.
No,
Taves is happy.
I'll be honest with you. Like, was it the cleanest game? Was it the most dominant game? No.
Nah.
But did you ever feel like Tech was going to lose?
No.
No.
And really, aside from one
fluke
big play.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a fluke. Right.
A
missed shutout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should have shut them boys out. But anyways, let's go ahead. Thank our sponsors.
I got the sponsors. We thank First National Bank, Fairway Carts, Walpole Tire, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, Acme Glass and Mirror, Brister Smokehouse, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you on the Fairway Carts hotline or text line, 888-993-7762. Be sure to give us your thoughts on, I don't know, the Bowling Green game. You can give us your thoughts on the first three games of the season. Obviously, conference play starts this Friday night with Florida International coming to town for a 7 p.m. kickoff. You can give us your thoughts on that game. You can give us your thoughts on the rest of the season. We just want to hear from you. Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762. Before we get into the Bowling Green game, I just wanted to touch on a couple former Bulldogs. I don't know if you saw it today, Beck. Jeff Driscoll, quarterback, played his senior season here at Tech in 2015.
Pretty good.
Signed with the Detroit Lions.
All right, so he was with the Bengals, and he got hurt.
Then he was released.
Okay. Wonder what the injury was?
Injury settlement. I think he had a hamstring injury. I think that once you are released, I think that means you're healthy once you reach that injury settlement. So he'll get an opportunity to go up there and potentially back up Matthew Stafford. I think the backup for Stafford has been David Blau.
Never heard of him.
Rookie from Purdue.
Well, Jeff Driscoll,
I'm happy
for him. Yeah, he'll beat him out.
Yeah, also some injury news. Xavier Woods, former Tech safety, down 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
Whew.
I think he suffered on the final drive of Dallas's win over Washington this week. So hopefully Xavier can.
Maybe we'll get him on the radio.
Bro, we might try. That's a good thought.
I know.
Man.
Sometimes they just come to you right in the moment.
Man, you're a man of the people.
No, I'm a man of the people.
Let's talk a little bit about this Bowling Green win. And, you know, had an opportunity to go to Skip Holtz's press conference today. And, you know, he obviously, you know, you get a lot of the coach speak,
yeah,
obviously.
Same old every week.
But one thing I really wanted to touch on, and I think we're seeing
Skip, your show, BC, touch on it.
It's the fall, and Skip's turned over a new leaf.
Yeah. He's not looking back.
No, you know, week one really challenged Bailey Hale to step it up in the kicking game, I thought.
Yep.
Week two really called himself out for the, let's be honest with ourselves, bad play calling
Absolutely.
In the second half.
100%, yep.
This week, the question was posed to him about, you know, what do you do when it comes to Justin Henderson at running back? You know, obviously Israel Tucker's down. He's week to week now. And
Dancy's play to play.
Dancy's play to play. What do you say anything to Justin Henderson, or do you let it
in regards to the fumbling?
Yeah, he's got two fumbles in three games. I think he's got four fumbles in the last 2 years.
And if we know anything about Skip, BC, is he hates turnovers.
Oh, absolutely,
hates them.
And he was pretty blunt today when he addressed it. He said, you know, no, it's the elephant in the room. You know, you can look at it from a black and white perspective and say he's fumbling and you can't do that, but that's not the issue. The issue is getting the ball too far away from his body. Whether you're fighting for extra yards or not, you can't fumble the football. And if you do fumble the football, bottom line is you won't get the football.
Correct.
Tell me what you think about this. He said, the football is so important, they name the game after it.
I love that.
They name the game after the ball.
Break it down. Be simple. Sometimes you got to do that for these guys, Ben. And like you said, if you keep fumbling, you're not going to carry it.
No.
And here's the deal. Skip is like desperately looking for a running game.
Well, okay? He said today, like, not just Henderson. Yeah. They're not getting enough out of the running back position.
And so I get it. These last, you know, like I've talked about the lopsided games we've had this far, the first three games of the season. Two of them, Tech was heavy favorite. One of them, underdog. So he's trying to figure this out. The last two games, I know where that play calling thing on the second half came from, a Grambling. He's trying to establish a running game.
Well, he's trying to figure out who's going to tote the rock.
Yeah.
And if the
who's going to tote it?
And if the O-line's going to open some holes. And you know, you
I'm
and
hearing
I,
rumors about open tryouts on Tuesday.
Well, hey, maybe you'll be at them. You can break it down. Let's get a little film breakdown. But, you know, you look at the running game, and we talked about this before we went on the air. Justin Henderson obviously had the big run for 75 yards.
We know he can do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's pretty good back. He's not a game changer by any means, but he can get some yards between the tackles. But outside of the 75-yard run,
we had 129 rushing yards.
Yeah.
We don't have a run game.
Only 3.6 yards per carry on the afternoon. It's concerning. Now, and I have a question, and we've talked about this before. Does Holtz realize now, you know, we're three games in the season, Tech's 2-1, pretty much exactly where you expect him to be, correct?
Right.
So, does Skip continue trying to run the football, even though it's pretty clear at this point there's not that bell cow running back there? And that's something I've spent a lot of time thinking about over the past couple of days. Is
because if not, you got to, like we talked about last week, you got to start throwing. You got to start throwing or like establishing your identity. This is not, you're running out of time to be trying different things.
Well, yeah, now it's conference play starts Friday, so like we're about to figure out, and I think we know what the identity is. So this is a pass first team.
Right, clearly. But we talked about, you mentioned a couple weeks ago that they were going to be throwing 40 times a game, through 26 times last week.
Well, 34. You forgot the backups.
Nah, we threw 26 times last week, essentially.
Okay. Threw 26 times.
Essentially.
Threw 26 times. But, so when you talk about going into FIU, do we expect Skip Holtz, and this is kind of jumping ahead to the third or fourth segment when we're going to break down FIU, but do we expect Skip to realize that he's not a run-first team or a team that can really create any sort of balance? Well, you look at the first three games. Let's talk about them. Okay, the first game at Texas was a blowout. So that game wasn't called, you know, it wasn't the normal style of game that you're going to see called from an offensive perspective. Okay, then game two. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it was the right call or not, it was clear what Tech's goal was in the second half. They were trying to get out of there.
Yep.
Then you look at this third game against Bowling Green, it was a blowout. So you're not going to throw the ball every down in the second half when you know you're going to win. Like, you can say, like, you know, we should have thrown it more, but you're not going to do it. Like,
right. Bottom
line, you're just not going to keep throwing the ball. So I don't think that, looking at, you know, what we've seen from a play-calling standpoint in the first three games, I don't think you can draw any real conclusions in saying that, oh, Skip is just so determined to establish some sort of balance, because we haven't seen a normal type football. I hate to say a normal football game, but a competitive football game under normal conditions for four quarters.
Conference play games that are a little tighter, little.
Yeah, so, like, you're going to see.
We haven't seen a four-quarter football game. Grambling was, but it
should
have been.
Well, yeah, and it was under, like, really odd conditions. Like, it ain't going to be 150 on the turf.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, looking at this Bowling Green game, and I know we're going to get into it more in the next segment when we really break it down, but I thought, you know, offensively, and a lot of people like to hammer on the quarterback, and that's the popular thing. Heck, you like to call him number – first off, are you still calling him number eight?
Yeah, I was thinking about that at dinner tonight.
Early dinner, bro.
Early dinner before the radio
show. Little 5 o'clock dinner.
Bird special.
Yeah, early bird special. Meet him
I was
at
thinking
Applebee's.
I knew that question was coming. When is he going to, you know, earn his name, poem, whatever?
You're sticking with eight.
I need two conference games.
Okay. All right. We got FIU and Rice coming
and
up.
Rice. I'll make a decision after that.
All right.
And but I'll be the first to say I am super impressed with Jamar this year. I haven't even directed hardly.
You just called him by his name.
Ah! Inconsistency. I'm super impressed by him this year, by QB1 this year. I really don't have a negative thing to say about the way he's played. His interception was a deflected ball. So, yeah, maybe get a little taller, eight. But really, Ben, and still Tech fans are blaming QB1.
No, back.
I see it on the Twitters.
No, we're getting into this in the next segment. We're going to get into that. But looking at this game, and, you know, offensively, obviously the first drive of the game, Bowling Green gets the big play on the bubble screen. There was a missed tackle or two. I think there could have been a block in the back call. But
yeah, that's fresh off the Grambling game, and I heard the groans and saw the eye rolls from my house.
I felt them myself.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, there's no way this is about to happen.
Is this our season?
Oh, man. But anyway, so you look at, you know, from that point on, offensively, you come out, the first play, a run up the middle, second play, bubble screen to Powell, picks up a first down. And then I thought the third play really set the tone. Jamar rolls to his right, hits Graham on the 49-yard deep ball for a touchdown. And it kind of allowed you to exhale and say, you know what, this team's going to be fine. And they got plenty of energy against a lesser opponent.
Yeah, and I think most Tech fans would tell you they would love to see a 49-yard bomb. Just try it every drive, BC. I mean,
I'm glad you mentioned that. Skip talked today. I think he was on the morning drive with Aaron and Jake, and he said in this game they had 13 deep ball calls that they wanted to go to. Like there was a clear game plan. They were going to go deep. But you look at the five first half sacks, and that really alters your game plan. You can't, you know, what's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results? So you can't keep trying to drive the ball down the field if you're not getting adamant pass protection. And I think one of the sacks was on the running back, DeAndre Marcus, the redshirt freshman. Skip talked today in his press conference that one of the deep balls they tried to take, Jamar held on to the ball a little too long, which caused the sack. And he wasn't necessarily upset about the sack because he said if he did try to release it, you run the risk of a fumble. Like you said, he doesn't like turning it over. And then three sacks were on the O-line. So, you know, I think Tech wants to take its deep shots. And I think Jamar's been a lot better throwing the deep ball this year. In this game alone, he was 3 of 3 for 117 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, you know, I think the deep ball, if Tech, maybe we see more max pass protection. You know, Bobby Holly comes in as an extra blocker at tight end to just give him that extra second to really let it rip. But I thought the offense in this game, you know, 453 total yards. In the next segment, we'll get into some of the third down woes that Tech had. I think they're only 4 of 13 on the afternoon. But, you know, they played well.
I was trying to, like, recap this in my brain, but I think I remember feeling like at any second the game was going to – we were going to blow it wide open. And it was just like any frustration I had was just like, oh, that was almost a play. You know,
you
were just waiting for it to happen. I never felt like, oh, gosh, we might not do it except for that first play. But – it was just of like, oh, when are we going to –
so close.
When is it going to happen?
Well, you can see it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, a deep ball, and like they're open, and he gets sacked, holds on to it for a second too long or something. So the whole game, it was just – you just felt it was coming, but it was just – you wanted
to –
Well,
and it doesn't feel necessarily like 2018 or 2017 where it's like, oh, this offense has no chance of making a play.
Right.
Like you can see it on the field. Like, you can see the talent at all four receiver spots – that those guys are going to get open and the big plays are out there.
Right.
It's just a matter of getting that consistency. So let's go ahead and let's take our first time out. When we come back from the break, we're going to break down more of this Bowling Green game. Tech wins 35-7, moves to 2-1 overall. I'm going to give some of my thoughts on Jamar, some of his play throughout the season. So keep listening. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, we have a strong team of bankers who are dedicated to meeting the needs and dreams of our customers. With competitive rates, tailored loans, and exceptional customer service, your experience with us is sure to be like no other. We invite you to come tailgate before every Louisiana Tech home game. First National Bank, we are the uncommon bank. Visit us online at fn.bank. Member FDIC.
Have you looked at the calendar? The seasons are changing, and fun season is almost here.
You mean fall season?
Nope, fun season. Because any season is more fun with a new EasyGo golf cart from Fairway Carts in Minden. With an EasyGo that perfectly fits your lifestyle, you'll have fun at the football games, fun with the family on a camping trip or riding around the neighborhood. Even have fun in the woods during hunting season. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Experience the comfort of an EasyGo personal cart, the convenience of a multi-passenger cart, or the rugged durability of an EasyGo utility cart. Yes, fun season is coming, and it's going to be your new favorite season of the year. It all starts with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden on Highway 531, just north of I-20. Give them a call at 318-371-CART. Got a lot of stuff? Ideal Portable Buildings has what you need. A new custom-built portable building built with quality materials at low prices no one will beat. Ideal also carries Dirksen portable buildings in all sizes, from a garden shed to a lofted barn cabin. And keep all your stuff covered with the new Eagle Carport from Ideal. Rent to own with no credit check and 12 months same as cash with approved credit. Find Ideal Portable Buildings on Facebook or call 699-9426.
Ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. La Tech 35, Bowling Green 7. Bulldogs now 2-1 in 2019, getting set for their home opener, conference home opener Friday night when FIU Butch Davis come to town. You know, Beck, before we went to the break, we were talking about the Bowling Green and the offensive play in this game, and you mentioned how there's still so many people not satisfied with the quarterback play. And I want to touch on that, and I don't know how long this is going to take me, and I'm not here to blow your brains out with a rant, but I want to tell you something. Let's talk Jamar Smith. Let's talk 8. Let's talk QB1.
Let's talk.
The Tech passing game, and I get, first off, I want to say this. There's no one out there that's saying the Tech offense is clicking on all cylinders. They're not.
I hear you.
They're scoring 23 points a game. Now, his play as an individual has been exceptional. Like, I think it's been really good. You talk about completing 69% of his throws. That's up 11 percentage points from a year ago. He's thrown for 275 yards a game. That's up over 35 yards a game. 5 touchdowns. You mentioned the 1 interception off the deflection. Now, has he been perfect? Has he hit every throw? No. But if you're completing 7 out of 10 throws, you're giving your offense a great chance to be successful. Let's talk about this Bowling Green game in specifically. There was a third down play. At some point during the game, I think it was 3rd and 11, he hits Hebert right in the hands to get inside the Bowling Green 30 to go in for another score. I think Farlow followed that with a punt down to the 1.
Right.
So, you know, you get inside the 30, you have to think you're going to score, at least a field goal. Okay, there's 38. You also have another 3rd and 7 that you hit Powell in the hands and he drops that would have got you inside the 40.
Right.
So there, let's say another 3, because our fans think we shoot for field goals.
Correct.
So 41. And then you talk about the 45-yard pass to Powell that's called back by the personal foul. I think that ends up being a 3rd and 28. Obviously, Tech's not going to do anything with that. But, you know, there's 3 more scoring opportunities easily that were left on the field that have nothing to do with the quarterback. Now, that's not to say that, you know, that you can just say, well, it's all on the receiver. Like, receivers drop balls as well. I get it.
Right.
Like, I get it. But at the same point, when you're wide open, like, you got to catch the football.
Yeah.
Like, you have to catch the football. So, now, that goes back to, you know, we talked last year a whole bunch about how Holtz would continue to say in press conferences, It's not a matter of only the quarterback playing better. All 11 players have to play better offensively. Like, if this, to this point in the season, if that doesn't prove it to you, you just don't want to face the fact.
Right.
Like, the fact is, all 11 guys have to be doing their job offensively if Tech's going to score 45 points a game like we saw in 2016. Like, that's the biggest thing that I'm have an issue with. Like, the quarterback's doing his job. Now it's the time for the pieces around him to be more consistent in doing their job and allow the offense to make some of these bigger plays. Now, were there some woes offensively on third down? Absolutely. Tech was 4 of 13 on third down, but the average third down was 3rd and 10. Like, do you expect to convert 3rd and 10 at a 50% rate? Like, ain't happening.
Ain't happening.
Tom Brady ain't doing it to Antonio Brown. Sorry for mentioning Big Chest. Probably not the best time. But anyways, like, 3rd and 10 is not a great recipe for success. But like you said, you can feel the offense getting closer and closer to clicking. And I think, you know, and Isaiah Graham was at the press conference today, and he talked about we're so close offensively to really putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. And there's so many different pieces contributing at receiver. Holtz pointed out Malik Stanley. You know, I think Stanley only had, I believe it was, let me look real quick. He only had, I believe it's 2 catches in the game, both coming on that last drive when Aaron Allen was in the game. But he was so crucial to the Tech offense blocking on the perimeter and setting the edge at the point for those bubble screens to Powell, to Smoke Harris, to Griffin Hebert, and allowing those plays to be successful. So, there's many different pieces to an offense. You look at the offensive line. Yeah, we mentioned 5 sacks. One was on the quarterback, one was on Marcus. But there was also 3 separate times where Bowling Green had 3 down rushers. They sent a simple middle linebacker up the middle, and Kirkpatrick, the left guard, is blocking the defensive end out on the left edge. And it doesn't touch the guy. And you can say, well, Jamar was in a 5-receiver set. He's got to have a hot route. Well, if you're a quarterback and you identify the pressure before the snap, you're not expecting pressure in your face from a 4-man rush within 0.5 seconds.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
No,
as a fan, you have to be more realistic and expect other people to do your job. You can't just say, oh, Tech's 99th in scoring offense. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I forget only the quarterback is responsible for scoring. That's like saying first play on Friday night, Dancy goes 80 yards to the house, and everybody's like, yeah, Jamar, great job. Like, he handed the ball off. Like, Jamar didn't do anything on a handoff for a touch. Like, so you can't say that the quarterback is the sole driver in an offense. Yeah, he plays the most important role, but when your quarterback's completing 70% of his throws, like, you're doing a pretty dang good job, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'd venture to say, BC, that a lot of Tech fans that have frustration couldn't articulate.
My brother Randy from Jonesboro. Receivers to drop passes make great cornerbacks. If you can't catch, play defense.
Yeah,
Preach it!
BC, we talked a little bit about last year about 8 throwing a catchable ball. I won't go there, Ben, because I think the drops have...
3 drops in 3 games after 38 drops in 13 games.
We would have named our children after those receivers if they'd have done that last year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Couldn't buy a catch last year.
No, the drops have been way down. And like you said, the receivers are playing well as a group. My point is, like, it just all has to be clicking at the same time. There can't be 2 or 3 possessions in a game where the offense is inconsistent. Like, all 11 pieces have to be clicking throughout a game for you to truly reach that big P-word potential.
Okay, so 3 games into the season, I would say this one was certainly much better than the previous 2, but is that alarming at all that it's taken 3 games to even get
Nomar?
Is that typical across the
NCAA? I don't say it's typical. I'm not going to say it's alarming either. I think it's just it's part of the growth and the maturity of the offense. And I know it's a 5th-year quarterback. He's started 30 career games, like it shouldn't happen. Well, he's also 13-6 in his last 19 starts. He's 11-3 in his last 14 starts against G5 competition. So, we'll take that.
So what I'm hearing you say is you're pretty happy with QB1.
I think he's playing well. Like, I'm not saying he should win the Heisman Trophy, but, like, he's doing his job. Like, and like, we as humans, we hate change. Like, we hate any sort of change, which I think is why he's not getting the respect that he deserves. But, like, it is what it is. Like, I face the fact, unless J.R. Smith wins 10 games in a conference championship, like nobody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
I agree with that.
Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball on this one. I thought, you know, you looked at Bob Diaco's defense, caught a lot of flack in the first two games for the lack of pressure he put on the quarterback. This was a total 180 in this one. He brought a tremendous amount of pressure. We saw a lot of four-man fronts with Bowling Green's run-oriented attack. I know they ended up throwing it 38 times, but they had a lot of two and three tight end sets. I thought Diaco did a really good job. You talk about 290 total yards, limited Bowling Green to just 2.5 yards per carry. It's 119 yards on 47 carries, 6 for 21 on third down. Obviously, Amik had the big pick six early in that game. I thought that was a real momentum changer for Tech.
Right, that was an easy cupcake play for Amik.
Yeah,
he even
sat
celebrated.
On the route.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, that was good to see. I think that, like, aside from that one big play, I think it was easy to initially be like, oh, here we go, like we talked about in the last segment. But, I mean, the stats on the defense are incredible. You can't be mad about that.
Well, and Holtz talked about it today, you know, just to get off the defense for a sec. A lot of the issue in the game was the special teams. I didn't think Farlow punted the ball especially well. Holtz said on his coach's show last night they gave up 217 yards of field position to Bowling Green. You know, it felt like Bowling Green was starting around the 50 every drive while Tech was starting way backed up. So, you know, that's concerning, but we knew punting was going to be a concern coming into the year. Farlow did have the one good punt down to the one, also had the one that was partially deflected that went 12 yards. So the punting as a whole, if Tech can get 40 yards in a fair catch, like, I hate to say it, but, like, I don't think you can ask for much more.
Yeah, Skip talked about special teams. He said he just felt like they were just there this week.
Yeah, you know? He said they didn't lose the game. They didn't win the game. They were just there.
But he did put an emphasis on this week's game is really being a special teams challenge. And
yeah, oh, they're FIU's extremely explosive in the special teams aspect.
They're going to need to get it done, BC.
Yeah, punters averaging over 45 yards a boot, so look out down there at the
Jumbotron. I remember them.
Yeah, old Legatron, Ryan Allen.
Without a job, by the way, former Bulldog.
Yep, free agent. Cut by my boy Bill Belichick. But defensively, you know, I talked about the four-man fronts. Willie Baker was more in a natural defensive end role. I thought he played well. He had six quarterback pressures in the game. I know he didn't have a sack, but the more pressure that Tech can continue to create defensively is going to cause more and more havoc for quarterbacks. I really like the way that they're using Ezekiel Barnett. I thought he was a little undersized as an outside linebacker coming into the year at around 200 pounds, but they're lining him up with his hand in the dirt at defensive end on pass rushing downs. He had two tackles for loss in this one. So, you know, the defense and, you know, eight tackles for loss in the game for Tech, I think that doubled their total. I think they only had eight in the first two games. So, Tech's playing. The defense is really starting to click. Now, here's a good side note for you, Beck. Everybody asked, you know, when were we going to see Bob Diaco's defense unleashed that many of us saw throughout fall camp and in some of the scrimmages? Well, Holt said today they've really only used 30 or 40% of their defensive playbook. So we're going to continue to see more and more different varieties as the season goes on. And you can say, well, you should throw the kitchen sink at Texas. Well, do you want to put 100% of your playbook on film? Like, you got to save some stuff for conference. Like, I mean, Texas was a top 10 team.
Yeah. And honestly, Ben, I'm going to be real. I'm going to be straight with you. As an average fan, that's interesting information. Like, I didn't know I did, you know, in the last few years. But before that, like, I had no idea that teams withheld some of their strategy for later in the season.
Well, yeah. And you can't just throw it all at them because, you know, if you go into game eight and you've ran 100% of your playbook for seven straight weeks, well, like, they clearly know what's coming at them. So you have to be careful when you use certain things, and the same thing goes offensively. They're not using 100% of their playbook in every game, and you can say whatever you want to say about it, but I think offensively and defensively, what did this game teach us? I think this game taught us that Tech's getting closer and closer to clicking on both sides of the ball, and I'm pretty encouraged going forward.
I'd agree.
So coming up next segment, we're going to give our thoughts on the first three games. What have we learned through Tech's first three games? Obviously 2-1 overall. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back from the break, you're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, we are committed to the individuals and communities we serve. We offer personal banking, mortgage lending, commercial lending, and cash management. Let us honor our pledge to be uncommon in all that we do by visiting one of our convenient locations in Arcadia, Ruston, Farmerville, Monroe, and West Monroe, and experience our professional, enthusiastic service. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Member FDIC.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Hey, DQ fans, the 2 for $4 Super Snack is here to be your new snack time fuel up. Conquer the day and every crave by mixing and matching any two of your favorite snacks, like pretzel sticks and sundae, a cheeseburger and a Coke, or fries and chicken strips. And for only $4, that's pure snack power. Which combo will you try first? Swing by and find snack-tisfaction today. Only at your DQ. Happy taste good.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. So, Beck, I really wanted to dedicate this segment breaking down what we've learned in the first three games of the year. I know I spent a good portion of the last segment talking about Jamar, but you really touched a nerve with me before we went on the air talking about, well, you know, Jamar just throws all these passes at the line of scrimmage, like doesn't really push the ball down the
field. BC, don't hold me to that. I was just pushing your buttons.
So, Beck, I want to tell you something. Did you, before Tech started on Saturday, obviously. Or maybe you were multitasking. You had Tech on the computer.
No, I was watching.
All right, watching the Crimson Tide, Alabama.
Yeah, saw a little bit of that.
South Carolina.
Yeah, a little bit.
So Tua played a great game.
Yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Hey, if you're going to say what I said before the segment, you got to say what I said in the group message today then, too.
Yeah, you said Tua's going to be terrible in the pros.
Yep.
I
didn't say terrible.
That.
I just said I don't think he's going to be the best NFL quarterback.
I don't necessarily.
And I know where you're going with this point.
But Tua threw for 444 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Ben, how many yards after catch?
396 exactly. Yards came after the catch.
Exactly.
So, like, don't be my point is this. Like, don't be fooled by all the numbers that you see these days.
I'm never fooled by the numbers.
I'm talking to the audience. Like, and like,
but he didn't need to do anything other than that.
No, he didn't. And that's not something against college coaches.
I mean, why wouldn't you take the 2-yard pass
exactly.
as opposed to the 40-yard pass?
Well, and like, it's nothing against college coaches for getting it in their skill players' hands around the line of scrimmage if they can make plays and make big plays. Like, that's what the college game is. It's not the pro game. So let's talk about Jamar. All right. You look at some of his passing details this year. Yeah, you're talking to BC. Coming at you, Pro Football Focus data. Find something better, call us on the text hotline, 888-993-7762. At the line of scrimmage or behind this year, Jamar is completing 96% of his throws. You know what he completed in 2018?
What?
Only 86%.
Wow.
Yeah, throwing the quick pass, a lot better. 0 to 10 yards down the field, he's completing 71%.
Pretty good.
Yeah, completed 64% last year.
Okay.
That'll work. 11 to 20 yards down the field, completing 50%. Last year, completed 53%. So
whoa.
Down a little bit. Oh, you want to hear a whoa?
Yeah.
20-plus yards down the field, the deep ball, he's completing 54%. Want to know what he completed last year?
What?
32%. Nah. Tell me he ain't improved a little bit.
A little bit. Needs to work on the 11 to 20 yards, Brad.
Yeah. Certainly does.
That's what the regular Tech fan would say.
Yeah, would be like, well, he
give
can't,
us the old J-Mar.
He can't hit the intermediate route. But let's look at some of these offensive numbers. You know, 23 points per game. First off, let's be transparent. A three-game sample size versus a 13-game sample size, not the best comparison.
No.
But we like to break it down. Conference play starts Friday. Bleed Tech Blue Radio getting you ready. 23 points per game. Down from last year where Tech averaged 25 points.
Averaged
25 points per game. First downs per game, up two. 22 first downs per game.
All right.
Rush yards, down six. We know.
Didn't have a run game last year either, apparently.
Not surprised. 124 yards a game, 99th nationally. Pass yards per game. Tech averaged 250 yards a game in the air last year. Up to 295 yards a game this year, 26th in the nation. Tech's also averaging 50 more yards per game, averaging 420 yards a game offensively. Solid. Now, a big concern, like we talked about, only converting 33% of first downs after converting 40% a year ago. That number has to come up. I don't care, like I say, I don't care if it's 3rd and 10 or longer, but the number has to improve if Tech's going to reach its potential offensively. Looking at some of the red zone numbers, everybody loves Tech just kicks field goals in the red zone. Well, Tech scored 6 times in the red zone, 5 touchdowns.
Well, there you go.
I believe that's 83%. There's been 2 times they haven't scored. We obviously remember they were stuffed on 4th down against Grambling.
I remember.
And I don't know if you remember Aaron Allen taking a knee against Bowling Green, but that counts.
BC, I just noticed something. You remember one of my biggest frustrations with the Bulldogs last year coming out of the half? 0 points in almost every third quarter. That's not an official stat. Don't look it up.
No,
but
Tech hadn't scored in the third quarter this year.
What is the deal?
Beck,
I didn't even realize it was this year total.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm looking at just last week's game.
I'm glad you brought that up.
The big goose egg, BC.
That's a concern.
Put it in the fight song because apparently it's part of our pedigree.
Get the band back on the field and say, here come the dogs. Let's mock a coin toss.
My goodness.
That's a concern.
I mean, is Skippy's halftime speech just not motivating?
Might need Robbie and Chalmette in there.
I'll put you in there.
No, that I'm glad you brought that up. And I didn't have that down tonight as a talking point.
Yeah, well, I'm a genius.
But I wonder, this is serious me thinking out loud. Like, what could be the cause of it? It's not as simple as the coach didn't motivate.
Right, but are they, like, resetting the game plan and just, I mean, what? I mean, 14 points in the first quarter last week.
7 in the second, 0.
How many against Grambling last week? I mean,
20 in the first half, 0 in the second half. Yeah.
I mean, Texas game, I'll excuse it. But Grambling and Bowling Green, you're not scoring a point in the third quarter?
I'm glad you brought that up. That
alarming, BC.
That alarm alert.
Go to the concession stand in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing happening.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that. That's something. I'm glad you touched on that. I'm going to go back.
I know you are.
For next week's show, I'm going to go back. Regardless,
go back 20 years, see what our third quarter stats were.
No. I'm going to go look at some of the drives that Tech's had in the third quarter in the previous. Well, I'll use 4 games because the FIU game will be completed. And we're going to look at some of the issues that Tech's had in the third quarter. I'm glad you brought that up.
Let me go to the press conference next week. I'm going to pose that question to,
yeah, throw
to
it
the
on
skipper.
Him. Yeah, throw it on him. See what he says. Now let's look at some of these defensive numbers.
Jeez.
Man, Beck's ready to
rant. I'm fired up.
So a lot of people say that the Tech defense is struggling. Well, let me tell you something. Points per game are down. 23 a year ago, 22 this year.
Whoa. Big change, BC.
Yeah. Big drop. First downs allowed are up. 19 last year, up to 24 this year. Here's the concern. Allowing 163 yards per game on the ground, 82nd nationally. Allowing 237 yards a game through the air, 86th nationally. Tech only allowed 191 yards per game passing last year. Now, like I said, small sample size. Yep. Obviously, Tech will get to play Rice. Tech will get to play UTEP. Some of those teams don't throw the ball particularly well. But some of the pass defense and the run game defense, granted, the run game was good against Bowling Green, 2.5 yards a carry. But some of that stuff has to improve. The defense has to step it up. They're allowing 59 yards more per game in 2019 than 2018. Now, Texas skews that stat a little bit. A
little bit. But we also played at Mississippi State last year.
And also played LSU last year. But LSU probably helped it out. LSU's offense wasn't exactly explosive a year ago.
That's true. We gave up a couple of turnovers in the old
red zone.
Yeah. BC. Let's be realistic here. New defensive coordinator. New system.
No, I think so.
I know, but how much? How much does that play in?
I'm gonna say 40%. I think some of the issues defensively are adjusting to a new scheme. Some of it is Diaco learning what his players do best.
Right.
Now you can say all day, well, he should have watched the film, but like you can't just say it's as simple as watching the film. Like it's
he
a new
probably
scheme.
Watched the film.
I would imagine so. So I think, and we saw it this week. He got Michael Sam, he got Amik Robertson, and some more man coverage. I thought both guys played really well. So, like I said, defense is really starting to step up and play better. Now let's talk about one glaring thing that sticks out, and we've heard Holt say this before. What were you looking for in your defensive coordinator? What did you need to improve on when Blake Baker left?
Well, he got a demeanor change.
He did.
You go to one practice, bring your earplugs.
He did.
You're going to need them.
He did bring a demeanor change. But on the field, he said today he wanted to limit the big plays. He wanted to get better in the red zone. Well, let me tell you about the red zone. Opponents have only scored 6 out of 12 times in the red zone.
50%.
Tech's only allowed 14 points to its opponents in its last 9 trips to the red zone. Right now, Tech's red zone defense is 5th in the country. Now, I got a question for you. Is that a skill?
A skill?
Like, is that something you can be good at, like making a team not score?
Well, tell me what goes into being good at red zone. I mean, what's the difference?
Well,
I know the field's smaller.
Yeah, well, that's what Holt said today. The field's smaller. Obviously, Diaco, he said, has a bunch of different things he likes to do from a scheme standpoint down in that red zone. He likes to bring the safeties down in the box because you can't get beat over the top. You know, if you overthrow down the red zone, it's out the back of the end zone.
They got the 12th man back there, you know?
Yeah, big 12th man. Wide body.
Yep.
But, you know, so I think a lot of it is scheme and how they change. And Amik talked about, you know, we like to bow our neck down there. Like, we'd like to take some pride. But, see, only scoring 6 out of 12 times, like we saw why Bowling Green didn't kick field goals.
Yeah.
We saw why Grambling didn't kick field goals.
Yeah.
But every team's not going to be that poor kicking field goals. Now, if you can force an opponent to kick field goals all the time, like,
yeah,
you're going to be pretty well off. Pretty well off.
Pretty.
So, it'll be interesting to see if the red zone defense continues
to
be.
So, you're just saying don't freak out about the defense. It's fine.
No, don't freak out about the defense. Don't freak out about the offense. Both sides of the ball have room
for special teams.
Meh. Got to get better.
Got to get better.
Got to get smoke, running some smoke back to the house. Need some better punt returns.
And some better punts.
And some better kickoffs.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I just wanted to give my thoughts on the 2019 season.
I like
this
it.
Point. Conference play starts.
I feel ready for conference play.
Starts Friday night. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back from the break, guess what? We're going to start breaking down FIU. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Uncommon. How would you describe it? Would it be above the ordinary? Outstanding? Exceptional? First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank, is above the ordinary. An outstanding bank dedicated to exceptional customer service, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all the things we do. Member FDIC.
If you've been waiting for just one more good reason to buy a new EZ-Go from Fairway Carts in Minden, here it is. New EZ-Go carts from Fairway Carts are available with lithium batteries. That means a much longer battery life, which means more time for you to be out having fun on your EZ-Go. From a standard golf cart to the big 4 and 6 passenger carts for the whole family, EZ-Go is the industry leader in lithium battery technology. Their batteries are 100% maintenance free, deliver consistent performance with a longer life and much quicker charging time than conventional batteries. And best of all, they come with an unprecedented 8-year battery warranty. Don't wait any longer. You've got all the reasons you need to buy a new EZ-Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Come see the big selection in the showroom on Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 318-371-CART.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Beck, conference home opener will be just the second time since Louisiana Tech got into Conference USA that they've opened conference play at home. I don't know if you remember the first time back in 2013, Tulane.
Oh, I remember.
It was a rough game.
Yes.
Scotty Young running the quarterback with Ryan Higgins as a freshman.
I do remember that.
You know one thing I remember about that game? This is totally off topic.
Hey, it's your show, BC.
Do you know who Bob Marley is?
Yeah, the old singer.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob.
His son Nico was playing linebacker for the Green Wave.
Yes.
Thought that was pretty interesting back in the day, but nonetheless, Tech lost that one. So let's hope for a different fortune this week.
Weather's going to be a little better, BC.
Beck, supposed to be beautiful. High of 88, low of 69, chance of rain in the morning. Going to cool it off. I get it. It's a Louisiana high school football game night on Friday. But get out to the Joe. Ruston High
playing
host
Thursday.
Airline on Thursday night at the Joe. Hey, go to the Joe
two days in a row.
Sleep at the Joe.
How many opportunities do you have to go watch football in the Joe 2 nights in a row?
Ain't nothing better. Ain't nothing better. Yeah, like you said, should be a beautiful Friday night. I'm going to have one of my kids out there. Wife's going to be there. Don't know if she's going to paint the face. But she'll be there.
My wife and kids will not be there. BC.
Oh, Beck.
Still got a fresh new babe at the house.
Yeah, a little green.
Somebody's got to watch her.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you going to be sitting with your boy? Or are you going to be sitting with your family?
I'm probably going to sit with the family, Beck.
Are you?
Yeah, for a little while. They're
wish you'd have told me that before the show.
Well, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make
it. I'm a little shocked.
They're not going to make it 4 quarters.
Feeling a little betrayed.
Would you like to sit with us?
Yeah, probably will. I ain't got nobody else to sit with, BC.
Come on with it, Taylor Beck Haynes. Come on with it. All right, let's talk some FIU, baby. Florida International, Butch Davis in his third year as the head coach.
Let me tell you my number one takeaway from this press conference. I think Skip Holtz and Butch Davis are BFFs.
Butch Davis.
He talked about Butch like it was his own son, and he was so proud of him.
Yeah, Butch has done a really good job down there. Let's be honest. I think they've won 9 games for 2 straight years. Obviously come into this one.
A little banged up.
Well, a lot of prognosticators picked the Panthers to win the Eastern Division prior to the season, but I got some news for you. They're 1-2.
All right, before we get this started, just go big picture to small picture. What is your honest what percentage do you give chance do you give Tech to win this ballgame?
80%.
Really?
I'll be extremely disappointed if Tech loses this game. You're about to hear why I'm sick. So let's look at FIU's schedule. Open the season on the road at Tulane. Yeah, got beat 42-14.
Woo.
That was a shocker to me.
You don't come back from that one.
Nah, that was a shocker to me. But Tulane, Willie Fritz doing a great job with the program down in New Orleans. So, second week of the year, FIU opens conference play. Tech's got a chance to put them at 0-2. They lost to the Hilltoppers, Western Kentucky.
Hey, we know how that feels.
Yeah, I'm about to tell you. There's a Western Kentucky team that's coming off a loss to an FCS opponent, Central Arkansas. Beat FIU 20-14. Crowds down in Miami are pretty slim, 13,000. Last week, host FCS opponent New Hampshire, not exactly a powerhouse. Game was tight late into the third quarter before FIU pulled away 130-17.
Yeesh.
Less than 12,000 in the stadium. So you look at this FIU team, you look at the quarterback position, James Morgan was picked as, if he wasn't the preseason conference player of the year along with Mason Fine, he was definitely a second-team all-conference pick. Yes, that's a great point from Cookie. I believe Joe Montana's son was quarterback in Tulane that night in 2013.
Star-studded team, BC.
Yeah, they sucked, but
no wonder they
too.
Beat us.
Yeah. Well, they had a Hall of Fame. I think Joe was at the game. Yeah, Joe was in attendance. Cookie, you're right. God, I'm glad you brought that back. It's come to Bleed Tech Blue Radio for a history lesson. So talking about James Morgan, preseason all-conference pick, but here's the kicker. He missed the New Hampshire game with an injury. Holtz talked
about... What kind of injury are we talking about?
Well, that's the
Pride?
Thing. No one really knows.
Pride.
Holtz said he's heard that he's had surgery, but
he's also heard
he's practiced,
been in practice this week.
Who knows? Looking at Morgan, he's a pro-style quarterback and really sling it. Probably an NFL prospect.
Really?
Yep. Probably an NFL prospect. Looking at the backup, Kalen Wiggins. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Wiggins. Now, yeah, he threw for 168 yards last week. Let me tell you what else he did. He ran for 187 and two touchdowns. He's going to pose a threat on the ground if he's the guy at quarterback.
I don't even know who I would rather see.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And we got Eric Henry.
But that was New Hampshire. Didn't know there was even football in New Hampshire, BC.
Nah, yeah, neither did the state of New Hampshire. But we're going to talk with Eric Henry in the next segment, really, you know, dive into this quarterback situation this week. Now, you look at their offense as a whole this year, they like to run the ball, they like to throw the ball, but if Morgan's not in there, they don't throw it that well. You know, they're only throwing for 134 yards a game. Now, Morgan's only played about a game and a half. So, Tech's going to have some opportunities to really get up to the line of scrimmage and make some plays. And it'll be interesting to see Diaco try to slow down a running quarterback because, you know, we talked a lot about Ellinger in the first game against Texas, but Ellinger's not a true running quarterback. He wants to throw it. You talk about Wiggins in this one. He's a run-first quarterback. He's a zone read type guy, wants to get on the edge, use his speed. He can run. He looked really fast on film, but he is playing New Hampshire.
Right.
So, you know, how fast is he really? So, I think if Wiggins is in there, Tech's got to force him to throw the ball, get him behind the chains. Now, defensively, we talked about some of the woes Tech has had defensively. Beck, I got some bad news for you. Ask me what Florida International struggles at.
What are they struggling at, BC?
Stopping the run.
No way.
Tech can't
run
the
ball. That ain't
good,
yeah.
What does Florida International do well?
Pass defense.
Yeah. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Tulane's a run-first offense. Western Kentucky can't really throw it. If I'm not being all that imaginative, I can't imagine New Hampshire having a real gunslinger back there.
Yeah.
So...
probably just glad to have somebody back there in general.
Yeah. My hope is that Tech doesn't try to run the ball down their throat.
Yeah.
I want to see Tech throw the ball. I mean, you look at Florida International, they don't even have 1,000 total yards of offense. They've given up 1,300.
Trending in the wrong direction.
307 total yards a game. That's down bottom of the nation. They're 13 of 40 on third down. Pretty comparable to Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is only allowing 16 of 39, which not great, not terrible. But, you know, you talk about Alexander at receiver. He's the go-to guy at receiver. The top running back will be Jones, but he's only averaging 3 yards a carry. So, if Alexander's not back there, if Alexander's not back there at quarterback, I think Tech's going to have some success. That's why I give Tech an 80% chance of winning this game.
8.5-point favorites, BC.
Well, it opened at 10. Now, I don't know if no one has anything to bet on a Friday night. That's why the line's going down. I have no idea. But let's go straight to the Fairway Carts Hotline, joined by our good friend Rafe. Rafe, how you doing tonight?
Man, having a great night. Just a great night. Listen, I've been fueling up on some Tech hype. You know, not just today, but the last couple of days, I felt pretty good about the momentum of the team, kind of the direction of the team coming, especially the way we finished out the Bowling Green game. But what I want, and it's something that we don't see much from teams in bowl game. I just want us to beat the will out of people. You know, if we have a superior team. And that kind of speaks to the point y'all made about the third quarter, you know, mediocrity or less than that. Is, you know, if you get a lead, we feel like, okay, win by 1 point, same thing as winning by 20 points on the record, you know, all that. But it makes a difference in how, you know, you can see the aggression and you can see the risk-taking and the excitement whenever we just want to beat somebody into submission. And we see that from time to time in the bowl games, but it is a lost science when it comes to the regular season with Tech football. Even when we play teams that are inferior, we don't beat the life out of them. You think that's a good point or no?
No, I think you're hit the nail on the head. And like you said, you talk about the excitement aspect. I think the players really feed off of that as well. You talk about some of that aggression, and, you know, we can talk about the Bowling Green game, and I didn't really have a problem with Tech kneeling at the end of that game, but if you put another touchdown on the board, you talk about that excitement, and even on the fan side of things, I think that 42-7 looks different than 35-7 as well. I'm in complete agreement with you that Tech has to do a better job of putting away inferior opponents and letting them know that they are much superior to them.
But I don't think that skips. I don't think that's Skip.
It's not his style. No, you're right. But
I don't think we'll ever get that. We're going to kneel on the 5-yard line every week, even if we're up by 10.
But I think that's what you're saying, though, Rafe. Like, that can't be the mentality. You have to have that mentality of, once we get on top of your throat, we're going to step on it and put you away.
Right. Whenever you let them have, they're like that wrestler. You know, once you beat them down for a little while, but then all of a sudden, if you don't finish them off, they get a little bit of life and they start coming back. And then you're in a situation that you really weren't prepared for because you're not playing. You're not playing in that desperation mode. You're playing in a protect mode, and it's like it's not the same vibe that you have, and so it's hard to change that energy. You know, in the midst of a second half, and so. I would like to full throttle people, you know, for the first three quarters, and then fourth quarter, you know, we can see where we are at that point if we're winning big, you know. But we tend to play according to the kind of the level of the opponent, and we kind of take what they give us and take some shots here and there. And you know, I'd like to have seen throw it deep to Isaiah Graham again. Well, yep. Can they guard him?
Yeah,
didn't
find
look like
out.
They guarded me.
Yeah, find out.
You know, like that looked pretty good. Let's do that again. And you know, and there we've got a bunch of different weapons receiver wise this year that have emerged. I mean, I really like Hebert. I was wrong about him. I like his dependability. I think he's a slick guy. He can make plays. Powell's starting to emerge. Course of what we've seen in Stanley is he's a big player, and you know that just we know what we have on the outside with Hardy and Graham, and you know Smoke. I mean, that guy, every other catch is a touchdown. I mean, the guy does not drop it when it matters for sure. So I would like to just unload on some people, and that includes, you know, home run hitting with Dancy early. Don't wait until the second quarter to work him in there. Just he's got the most pop to him. You know, make them deal with him at first, and then if we want to wear some people down later in the game with a grinding game, so be it. But that, to me, that's the thing that's missing, and that's the thing I would love to see against FIU, who's a good team. I mean, they got handled by Tulane, but Tulane's got a dual threat quarterback, McMillan,
that's a phenomenal
player. Yeah, so you know, that makes a difference. So I would love for this game to be over at halftime, and we could just kind of relax and watch the second half, not on pins and needles.
Absolutely, Rafe. We certainly appreciate you calling. We got to get to a timeout. We got a guest coming up in the next segment.
All right, my brother. Take care.
You can call us just like Rafe did. Obviously, we're tied up in the next segment. Eric Henry joining us, beat writer, FIU. But catch us in the last segment on the Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762. Certainly some great points from Rafe. When we come back from the break, we'll continue to preview FIU with Eric Henry. You listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
All the time.
Excuse me? No, it doesn't. You always alert me.
My point exactly. Cars that have forward-facing cameras need to be recalibrated when you replace the windshield.
How would I know that?
Most people don't. Next time, take it to Acme Glass and Mirror. They were the first one in the region that could replace your windshield and recalibrate your forward-facing camera. And unlike taking it to a dealership and paying out of pocket, Acme will bill your insurance. It's that easy.
Thanks. I'm going to Acme Glass and Mirror.
At First National Bank, we have a strong team of bankers who are dedicated to meeting the needs and dreams of our customers. With competitive rates, tailored loans, and exceptional customer service, your experience with us is sure to be like no other. We invite you to come tailgate before every Louisiana Tech home game. First National Bank, we are the uncommon bank. Visit us online at fn.bank, member FDIC.
Hey, DQ fans, the 2 for $4 Super Snack is here to be your new snack time fuel up. Conquer the day and every crave by mixing and matching any two of your favorite snacks, like pretzel sticks and sundae, a cheeseburger and a Coke, or fries and chicken strips. And for only $4, that's pure snack power. Which combo will you try first? Swing by and find Snackisfaction today. Only at your DQ. Happy taste good.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. Louisiana Tech, FIU, set for a conference showdown in Ruston on Friday night, 7 p.m. kickoff, CBS Sports Network. And to join us to preview the Panthers, Eric Henry, beat writer for FIU. How are we doing tonight, Eric?
I'm doing all right, fellas. How's it going down there?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Not a problem. Looking forward to it.
Eric, when you look at this team, FIU, obviously in the preseason, you know, many different media outlets predicted that the Panthers would win the Eastern Division of Conference USA. I know it's been a rough start, 1-2 overall. What have you learned about the Panthers through their first three games of the year?
The biggest thing that the first three games have really shown about the 2019 FIU Panthers is that there is a huge difference in the offensive line from last year to this year. You're talking about an offensive line, guys, who was third in FBS football. They only gave up 8 sacks. Fast forward to this season, they haven't been able to protect James Morgan, and he's coming off of an ankle injury. He'll be somewhat of a game-time decision, although he probably could have played if it was a more high-profile opponent last week against New Hampshire. And they haven't been able to block to get the running backs going either. So, and it's weird, guys, because, yes, they lost four key members from last year's team, but FIU typically runs about 8 to 9 offensive linemen per game. So it's not like they didn't bring back offensive linemen who aren't experienced. It's just that they're not performing up to par, and then the depth behind them isn't adequate as well. And the second thing, I'll make this point really quick, the run defense issues haven't been fixed. You know, you're talking about a team that gave up, my memory is certainly correct, they were 12th out of 14 teams in Conference USA last year in run defense, and you saw they gave up over 350 yards to Tulane in week one. So still some issues that have got to get fixed, but it's early.
And you talk about the quarterback position with Morgan. Obviously, he's coming off the injury. You talk about his ankle injury, and Coach Holtz talked today that, you know, he's heard numerous reports that, you know, he's had surgery and he's practiced this week. They really don't know what to prepare for. I know Kalen Wiggins stepped in and really had a big night on the ground against New Hampshire. Talk a little bit about what Wiggins or what Morgan brings to the table and what Wiggins brings to the table, and how difficult both guys will be to stop for Louisiana Tech.
Well, yeah, I mean, Coach Holtz kind of hit the nail on the head right there, because we kind of got conflicting information. We weren't necessarily given anything definitive. James Morgan, against Western Kentucky, he actually came back in for the final two snaps of the game. We heard at first that he would be ready to go, and then I learned about 2.5 hours prior to kickoff that Kalen Wiggins would get the start. Just from talking about the difference of both quarterbacks, I mean, it couldn't be more of a contrast. Kalen Wiggins is a guy, he's a redshirt sophomore, really took his first snaps against Western Kentucky as a collegiate player and got his first start against New Hampshire. He's going to look to use his legs. You can tell, guys, that he's still not comfortable at the collegiate level as a passer just yet. So when things kind of break down, his default just, you know, kind of take off. Whereas with Morgan, he's your traditional pocket passer, 6'5", 225. James is a solid athlete behind center, but he's not going to necessarily break any long runs. He's a guy who will scramble to move the pocket to extend plays. Now, obviously, coming off of an ankle injury, you have to wonder if that mobility is even lessened more so coming off that ankle injury. But, yeah, I mean, it's a tough dichotomy for Skip Holtz to prepare for two quarterbacks who are completely different players.
And, you know, you talked about some of the defensive woes, especially when it comes to the run game. But I see that the pass defense has been pretty good. Is this just a result of teams going towards the run because they know they can have some success, or is this a credit to the quality defensive backs that Butch Davis has recruited?
No, the FIU secondary is legit. I mean, coming into the season, I probably look at them as maybe, you know, first or second in terms of a secondary right there along with Louisiana Tech. Guys like Stanley Thomas Oliver, Dorian Hall, Richard Dames, his twin brother Rashard Dames, those are all guys who are really talented players. And it's kind of a carryover from last season, guys, because teams would try to establish the pass. I mean, you guys know how offenses are in Conference USA. 12 out of the 14 teams run some sort of spread. So teams are looking to throw the ball, and then they realize that, hey, we can't throw against these guys who will default to the run, especially with FIU having such struggles in stopping the run. But no, this is a legit secondary, and it'll be interesting to watch on Friday night, see how a guy like Adrian Hardy and, you know, quarterback Jamar Smith, what level of success or lack thereof they'll have against the tough FIU secondary.
And one more question about the defense. Coach Holtz just raved about the play of linebacker Sage Lewis today, his ability to go sideline to sideline. He obviously leads FIU in tackles as well. What makes him such a good linebacker?
You know, Sage is somewhat of a hot topic amongst Conference USA, you know, fans and media people alike, because the knock on him last year, I won't say a knock, but there was kind of this thought that maybe he put up the tremendous numbers that he did because the run defense was so bad. And I've been making the point to anybody who will listen that this guy, he has a nose for the football. Wherever the football is, Sage is there. He led this team last year, or excuse me, was second in the team last year with 9 pass breakups. Like you mentioned, plays sideline to sideline. He had an interception and a pass breakup last week, but he just doesn't get the credit I think he truly deserves, despite being the preseason pick for Defensive Player of the Year in conference, because of the fact that he's having to make up for so much of the deficiencies in the front seven. But he's a guy who's just a stud, and you'll look forward to seeing him play Friday night.
And looking at FIU's special teams, Coach Holtz talked today about, you know, how good the punter is, Tommy Heatherly, and then the return game with Austin Maloney and Maurice Alexander. Is this one thing that Butch Davis places a huge emphasis on and sees as a vital way to change games, you know, in a league that plays a bunch of tight games like Conference USA does?
Sure, fellas. I mean, you talk about Butch Davis, you're talking about going back to his days at the University of Miami, we had, you know, punt returners like Roscoe Parrish and Santana Moss and, you know, guys like that. So special teams has always been a point of emphasis. Even if you look on special teams for FIU, you will see starters like Stanley Thomas Oliver or Rashard Dames or guys like those out there playing special teams. But to Coach Holt's point about the punter, that's actually interesting. Tommy Heatherly does have a big leg. He had a case of, you know, maybe you want to say first game jitters. He's a JUCO transfer and really shanked three punts down there in Tulane that, you know, I don't want to say they cost him the game because that game was a blowout, but really affected field position. Now, since that game, Heatherly's just been, you know, booting the heck out of the ball. I want to say he's averaging about 52 yards per punt. I know he averaged 50 last week against New Hampshire. And then he talked about Maurice Alexander and Austin Maloney in the return game. Maurice, you know, for Bush to kind of put that kind of praise on Maurice and say that he might be the best return man he's had since Santana Moss, I think kind of speaks volumes for itself.
Absolutely. So when you look at this matchup between Louisiana Tech and Florida International, obviously I think it's fair to say two of the better teams in Conference USA, two teams that certainly expect to compete for the conference championship. What are some of the keys to victory for Florida International?
It's really going to come down to three things. One, the offensive line has to get established. You know, Tech has a really talented pass rusher, Willie Baker, and FIU's tackles haven't shown the ability to kind of keep up with premier pass rushers. Western Kentucky's D'Angelo Malone and Juwan Jones, and up in Tulane, Cameron Sample and Patrick Johnson just really torched FIU's tackles. So that's going to be a matchup to watch. Number two, the run defense. They performed well against Western Kentucky, but I think we'll all be in agreement that Louisiana Tech is a much better program than Western Kentucky right now, and I have much more faith in guys like Jaquiss Dancy and Israel Tucker to go ahead and get the running game going. And the third thing I think is going to be the secondary, you know, the FIU secondary. Adrian Hardy is arguably, you know, a top two, top three receiver right there in Conference USA. When you talk about him and Quez Watkins, they're probably running neck and neck. You know, Jamar Smith is off to a nice start to the year and is completing in excess of 65% of his passes. And if they can kind of force Jamar to kind of revert back to the guy he has been the past 2 years, which is, you know, somewhat inconsistent in that 54-55% completion percentage range, and he can't hook up with Adrian Hardy, then the Panthers have a shot. But, you know, it's really going to take four quarters of consistent football, and FIU hasn't shown that they can do that just yet against a quality opponent.
And finally, what's your prediction for Friday night?
You know, coming into the season, this is actually a game that I had FIU losing. I thought that FIU would lose this game and their game against the University of Miami. I'm going to kind of hold to that. You know, once again, they're off to a tough start to the year. When you lose to Western Kentucky and the Tops were coming off of a loss to a FCS team in Central Arkansas, the FIU got smoked by Tulane. The team has to show they can go out and play four quarters of consistent football in all three phases of the game. So I think they'll come out and compete, and it'll be tough. And, of course, the quarterback situation is going to make a difference. But I have Tech winning a close one, not by more than one score.
Absolutely, Eric. Well, good stuff tonight. How can our listeners follow your work online?
Sure, absolutely. You can find my work at UnderdogDynasty.com, which is SB Nation's home for G5 football coverage. And you can find me on Twitter at EricCHenry_.
Good stuff. Looking forward to a fun game Friday night.
Appreciate it, guys, for having me on.
Eric Henry, beat writer for the FIU Panthers, Beck. And, you know, you hear a lot of what he said, and it's a lot of what we talked about. You talk about the quarterback if Wiggins is forced to play. He talked about the conflicting reports that he's had when it comes to James Morgan playing. So it'll be interesting to see how Tech prepares for the FIU quarterback situation. And then defensively, it just sounds like FIU has so many struggles up front on the defensive line and stopping the run, which I'm not sure that really plays to Tech's strengths.
Yeah, BC, it'll be interesting. As I always say, I'm not really ever surprised by the outcome of a game.
Nah,
for
fair.
Tech right now. I mean, like
that's
you fair. Said, I mean, these, you know, FIU has had a history of being really good the last 2 years. Were these first three games a fluke or,
yeah,
you know, what's going on? And we got two quarterbacks that seem to be could contribute in either way. So,
well, and I think, you know, a lot of Tech fans, and, you know, they, like Rafe said, and, you know, he would like to see the game be over at the half and, you know, be able to really put them away in that third quarter. But, you know, this FIU team, whether they should have been picked to win the conference or the Eastern Division of the conference by a lot of media publications or not, the last time they came to Ruston, they weren't that good. And I think the final score was somewhere around 24-14. And that was a team, I believe, that had Jeff Driscoll at quarterback. So it's not going to be an easy game. They play a style of football, more of a pro-style set offensively, especially if Morgan's in there. They don't play with a whole lot of tempo, which limits the possession. So I think it's shaping up to be a really competitive football game.
Friday night, BC, 7 o'clock. Be nice and cool. No excuse,
yeah,
Tech fans.
We'll see you there. Let's go ahead and take our final timeout of the night. We come back. We're going to put a bow on it. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Got a lot of stuff? Ideal Portable Buildings has what you need. A new custom-built portable building built with quality materials at low prices no one will beat. Ideal also carries Dirksen portable buildings in all sizes, from a garden shed to a lofted barn cabin. And keep all your stuff covered with the new Eagle Carport from Ideal. Rent to own with no credit check and 12 months same as cash with approved credit. Find Ideal Portable Buildings on Facebook or call 699-9426.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
At First National Bank, we are committed to the individuals and communities we serve. We offer personal banking, mortgage lending, commercial lending, and cash management. Let us honor our pledge to be uncommon in all that we do by visiting one of our convenient locations in Arcadia, Ruston, Farmerville, Monroe, and West Monroe, and experience our professional, enthusiastic service. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, final segment of the show. I want to thank Eric Henry for joining us in the previous segment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be a good matchup Friday.
You're pretty
night.
Good at getting the old guys from the opposing teams. None of them ever come in talking a lot of trash, BC.
Nah, bro, they don't really want none of them dogs. But Beck, let's take a look back at Conference USA last week. I think I saw a stat, Beck, and tell me if this concerns you. Conference USA 0-12 against Power 5 opponents.
I was about to ask you what, you know, you went on your little rant last year, BC.
Worst conference in the country.
Yeah, what do you feel about that now?
Beck, to be honest with you, don't really care. What does it matter?
Tech can only
Tech's
do
jobs to win the conference.
Win games.
Yeah, you can sit here and argue with me and tell me the Tech schedule's so soft and they should win this and that and the other. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that's an argument saved for when Tech's winning conference every year, not getting any bigger bowl games because of the strength of schedule issue, but.
Right now,
when you ain't even winning conference, I don't know if you can say much about the conference.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at some of the scores from last week. Charlotte, 52. UMass, 17. It's a UMass team that will come to Ruston later this year. Florida Atlantic, Lane Kiffin gets on the board with a 41-31 victory over Jason Whitlock's Ball State program. We mentioned Florida International, 30-17 over New Hampshire. Obviously, Tech knocked off Bowling Green, 35-7. How about Marshall, 33-31 over Ohio? That was a nail biter. Perhaps the most exciting game in Conference USA last week, Southern Miss 47, Troy 42. I think former Tech quarterback Jack Abraham played his best collegiate game. Army defeats Frank Wilson's UTSA Roadrunners. Man, Frank Wilson's really struggling down there. 31-13. Louisville knocks off Western Kentucky 38-21. everyone likes to crown North Texas the champ every year. Well, they're 1-2 after losing 23-17 at North Texas. Duke.
Who did they? Duke beat them?
No, North Texas lost to Cal.
Oh, you didn't say that.
I'm sorry.
You said North Texas lost North Texas. They might have defeated themselves in that game, BC. Who knows?
Never know. I know they were down 20-0 at one point, so at least they came back a little bit. Talking about Duke, I don't know if you saw Daniel Jones going to get a start for the Giants this week, the pride of Duke. They knocked off Middle Tennessee 41-18, and then in the only matchup with a top 25 team, Rice fell to Texas 48-13.
Kind of a similar score, BC.
It was a little bit similar. Hope the Tech and Rice game isn't too close here in a couple of weeks. So, Beck, you look at this game this week with Florida International. What does Tech need to do to win? I think, you know, the big thing offensively is Tech has to protect their quarterback. You have to give Jamar Smith plenty of time to throw. I know Florida International's strength of their team is their, you know, defensive secondary, but I think Tech can have some success throwing the ball if they give Smith time to throw.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good formula for any quarterback to have some success.
That's fair.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I kind of expect
– I want to see some of the offensive line breakdowns. They can't be happening. You talk about the interior of Tech's offensive line that's having some struggles. Ethan Reed's made 45 starts in his career. Cody Russey's made 30. Drew Kirkpatrick's in his second year as a starter. He's a senior. You know, that group up front, especially on the interior, they're too good, too experienced to be having mental breakdowns. I could understand if a guy physically beats you, but it really seemed to me that, you know, Bowling Green, when they got pressure on Smith, there's more mental breakdowns.
Right, BC, I'm going to be honest. I kind of feel like Tech's going to clean it up a little bit this week and maybe
I hope
lay
the
smack down a little bit.
I
like Rafe was wanting. Again, I don't think that Skip is the type of a guy to run the score up, but you may see a little bit more efficient football this weekend.
I hope so. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. Depending on the quarterback for FIU, I think if Wiggins is in there, I think the outside linebackers, when you talk about Willie Baker and James Jackson, they have to do a really good job at staying home in the read option. That maybe Diaco runs a spy at linebacker with the Trey Baldwin type that can run him down when he does decide to take off, you know, like Eric Henry mentioned to us. But I think defensively, if Morgan's in there, his ankle's obviously going to still be bothering him. He's obviously got some sort of a sprain, maybe some ligaments torn in there if he had surgery and is not going to play. So I think Tech has to make him a statue in the pocket and allow Willie Baker to really get after the passer.
What do you got, score prediction?
For one more thing.
Oh.
Special teams.
Oh, gosh.
Skip talked about how good FIU is on special teams. I think that Tech special teams has to play this one even. You can't get beaten special teams and expect to win a conference championship. And the run towards a conference championship starts this week. And when you get to start the conference at home, you have to take advantage of it. Like, you can't put yourself behind the eight ball to where you have to win. We've talked about the three-game gauntlet in November with North Texas, Marshall, and UAB. You can't force yourself to have to win all three of those games to stay in the race. So I think this is a big one, and the special teams is going to play a key role. And hopefully Brady Farlow hits some 47-yard punts.
That's all we can ask for, BC.
Absolutely. So, Beck, you mentioned the lines at 8.5. I know it opened at Tech minus 10. I thought minus 10 was a little high, I'm going to be honest with you.
Did you really?
I thought it was a little high, and that's not saying that I don't think Tech's going to win the game, but I just think FIU's being underestimated. They're really talented. They have as much NFL talent on this roster as any team in the league.
It's pretty wild.
You're recruiting the state of Florida.
Yeah, but you're losing to a lot of big schools.
Well, there's a lot of good players.
I haven't been to Florida in a while.
Well,
I haven't done my recruiting down there.
You sure hadn't. So let's talk about some score predictions. Beck Haynes, what you got?
Go 37-24 Bulldogs.
I like it.
Do you?
I like it. Yeah, 37. If the dog offense scores 37 points.
I feel like this is the week. I'm going to be honest.
I'm going to be happy. If they score 37 points, 475 total yards, you might say Jamar's name next week.
We'll see.
Tabes, what you got?
31-20 Dogs.
Ooh. I like it.
A little less optimistic.
I like it. Just a little
more
bit
of a defensive game there. BC, what do you got?
I'm going to go Dogs 41.
Okay.
FIU 27. A game that looks a little closer than it really was.
Maybe like a late score from
late there. Score, 41-20. They make it 27 late.
Yeah.
I think this is the week Tech puts it together. Offensively, maybe defense forces a couple of turnovers from Morgan or the young quarterback Wiggins, and Tech plays their best game of the year. Kind of gets the fan base back on their side. You know, gets a little optimism back.
Yeah. Oh, well, you need a little optimism.
Need a little optimism. So, certainly a fun show tonight. I want to thank Eric Henry for joining us. I want to thank Beck Haynes, my co-host, John Tabor running the board. We'll be back same time, same place next week. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Acme Glass, Dairy Queen, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
I mean, I don't mean to invoke the name of Tim Tebow, but I mean, their QBRs are about the same through a small portion.
Sample size.
I believe Tim Tebow had a QBR of what? 89, 87. Lamar's got one of 90 right now through a couple of games. I mean, I'm not saying the kid's not a winner, but I just think that as a quarterback, as Stephen A. likes to say, throwing the football, I just think that we need to pump the brakes. Arizona, Miami.
Right.
You know, I'm not hating on the kid, though. I'm not hating on the kid, though. I love
Jason,
the kid.
We're with you. We're with you.
He definitely throws it better than Tebow.
Yes.
I mean, Tebow had no hope as a passer. Right. None whatsoever.
He couldn't make the 15-yard pass, Chris, consistently.
I mean, he couldn't throw the ball at all, but he did win. It was similar. His rookie year was similar somewhat to Lamar Jackson's. Somewhat.
Right. All right, Jason, appreciate the support. What about Max in God Bless You? In Georgia, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Max?
Hey, fellas. Asalu, y'all's radio show has made it past. Many marriages did this year, so congratulations on that.
You're right about that.
Unfortunately, you're right. We hate to see divorce, but you're right.
Hey, I'm happy for you guys. You guys are great. So,
Thank you. Me,
the NFL, I just don't get the whole potential thing these days. The NFL is a what have you done for me lately league. It always has been. It's not a what will you do for me maybe league. So the word potential, especially for quarterbacks, it's just too unknown. And more the question for me is about the player's growth and longevity. Look at Cam. Look at Big Ben. Look at now Andrew Luck, too. All these guys were 6'5", 6'6", tons of potential, tons of strength, and they just couldn't make it too much through their injuries. So I just struggle with guys like Lamar and any of the small – look at Drew Brees, any of these small quarterbacks.
Right. We saw what – Brees didn't run. He's been incredibly durable. But of the running quarterbacks, Lamar's the smallest. I mean, outside of Kyler Murray.
Right. But we've seen it. Right. We saw RG3 have an unbelievable rookie year and wasn't able to sustain it.
Absolutely.
All right, Max.
All right,
appreciate you.
Thanks for the call.
How about Guy in California? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Guy?
Hey, you guys are awesome. Hey, congrats on the 1 year. You know it.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you, Guy. We appreciate that, brother.
Hey, you know what? One of the things I really love about you guys, you got a boxing gym in there because you guys seem to like want to duke it out.
Hey, but
you know what? I love how you guys want to shoot it straight. You know what? You just tell it the way it is. You don't care who's going to get hurt or what. You just tell it. I love that.
That's the way it should be, Guy. Most people don't want to deal with it. And even when me and Chris disagree, we just go on after that. We disagree.
When you guys are off work, you're going to get some wings. I know that.
That's right.
Hey,
Rob's buying me wings for all those bets I've
You got to have the bones. You got to have the structure.
Actually, I probably
bought you
more wings.
You have, Chris. You know I'm good on the wings.
You're good on the bets. When it comes to the bets, you don't lose.
Lee, we're going to squeeze one more in. Is that all right? GW in Cincinnati, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
What's going on, fellas? Hey, happy anniversary, man.
Thank you. Thank you, man. We appreciate that. We appreciate that.
Hey, Rob, before you print out those T-shirts, I think you might have to check that copyright, man. I pulled a LeBron. Hey, Chris, I gave the hubbo thing.
You did.
Don't I get some proceeds or something?
I just straight stole it.
We'll send you some wings.
Wait a minute, how you going straight still? Dang, Chris, I thought we were cool.
We are. Wow. Very
well,
small.
I know. He just
told
me I'm faster than an iPhone, Rob. I'm like, Jesus.
Now, you were the first to call him the hippo.
No, we will give you credit for that.
Hey, let me say this real quick. I know you got to go on break. I say let these guys shine. And I'm especially happy for guys like Lamar and Dak because they had a lot of haters last year. And they still got a lot of haters. Chris, you talked about that blindside block, that tackle that you worried about Lamar taking. I hope he don't get a Carson Wentz type of hit that puts him out, that breaks his back, that tears up his knee. You talk about a guy that was all flaunted. Hell, you got people calling me Wentz in a lifetime. You know, I want a little more to avoid the Carson Wentz and the Andrew Luck type injuries. How about that?
Wentz doesn't run like Lamar,
thanks, GW.
Obviously, or as much as Lamar, but he's another one, Rob. He'll get out of that pocket and he'll run.
And what
you
do,
he's had trouble staying healthy.
Your
Andrew
target
Luck would run.
Your target once,
right,
once
now,
you're
Luck
out
got
there.
Sacked a lot.